speed up live updates of your kernel and still be able to keep, for instance, virtual machines alive while you're doing the live update of the kernel on the host. There may be in-memory file system that you want to keep its contents, for instance, a huge TLBFS with lots of data, and you don't want to lose that data when you do the update of your kernel. You want to keep PCI devices configuration. There is no reason to reread PCI config space because you did reboot. It didn't change. There are VFI attached to virtual machines that can continue doing DMAs during the live update of the kernel. But when kernel reboots, their state becomes cleared and they restart from the very beginning. So VMs get disconnected from their IOs. And there may be different use cases as well. For example, the first driving use case for persistent memory across KExec was a PRAM suggested by Virtuoso, that they wanted to create a version of TempFS that would be persistent during KExec and will survive reboots, so that when you use Creo to checkpoint and restore your applications, you could store the checkpoints in that TempFS that persisted that is persisted over reboots, and then restoring the application contents would be much faster than doing a cold reboot and then going to the disks and so on. So over the years, starting from 2013, there were a couple of proposals how to preserve memory contents. There was PRAM, there was PSRAM, there were different proposals of memory allocators that would be aware of state persistence and would allow you to somehow pass metadata from one kernel to another, and then the memory that would be allocated from the allocators will survive KExec. And the latest proposal for memory persistence over KExec was KExec handover mechanism, which we'll expand in this presentation, and the guest MemFS. So I'll upload the slides, these links are live to the discussions on the Linux kernel mailing list. So what is KExec handover or KHO? It's a framework for serialization and deserialization of the state that KHO users can call and can register their callbacks into with KHO, and when KHO calls these callbacks, the users decide what data they want to serialize, and on the boot of the next kernel they decide what data they want to deserialize. KHO provides ability to save arbitrary properties, and also provides ability to save arbitrary memory ranges that are guaranteed in some way to survive KExec. In a sense, this is similar to Xen live update approach they implemented with Xen breadcrumbs. Now, KHO consists essentially of three major parts. First is the KHO FDT. It's the data structure based on flattened, it's essentially flattened device tree that already exists in the kernel, and the KHO uses the FDT library. The FDT contains the properties users want to serialize and deserialize. And one of the properties that more predefined is the memory ranges that a KHO user can say, okay, I have this memory range, please put it somewhere so I will be able to read it after KExec finishes. Another part is integration of KHO with the KExec boot and the boot setup data structures. Currently, it's implemented only for x86 and ARM. On x86, KHO is appended to setup data structure with the pointers to its physical memory locations, where it stores the device tree and where it stores the memory required for the next boot. And for ARM64, KHO FDT is added to device tree created by ARM KExec as a chosen node. And the third component is what we call scratch memory. These are memory regions that KHO allocates early on the boot of the first kernel. Then these regions are declared as CMA with CMA mobility, so that they can be used by the system to for user space memory allocations, for movable allocations. And these regions are passed to the next kernels, and it's the only memory that the next kernel will be using for its bootstrapping. And now, KHO device tree, as I said, it's flattened device tree. Is the same format as a device tree that firmware uses to describe the hardware. But in case of KHO, it uses to describe properties and memory ranges that we want to preserve during KExec. And the device tree is created at some point of KExec process, and every driver that wants to persist its data has to provide its own nodes in that FDT and to fill the node data in the FDT. Yeah, I'm trying to understand what Alex wrote here, so. As FDT is widely used, it already provides tools for verification and some standardization. It gives the ability for driver writers to understand how much previous version of what was serialized is compatible with the next version of what is serialized. For instance, if we are doing KExec of some more advanced kernel version, or we go back to one of the previous kernel version, there is a way with FDT to understand that the properties saved in the persistent data are compatible or not compatible with what the driver can handle. So this is an example of how FDT may look. This example saves F-trace buffers and events, and then the F-trace can be reconstructed from the saved data. So there is an events bit mask that says what events were enabled. There are memory ranges that F-trace buffers used on CPU 0. That has, in this example, it has four ranges and pretty small. In reality, it becomes much larger, but you get the gist. Another important thing, what happens with the memory during transitions of KHO and KExec and so on. So when the first kernel boots, very early during boot, it reserves some contiguous memory areas, and which are kind of blue here. Then as the system continues to work, the orange, yellow, I don't know, I'm colorblind a bit, the orange, yellow areas That's what we want to persist during the KEXEC, and these areas should be designated as such by their users. When KEXEC actually happens, the only memory that the second kernel will use is the green area scratch memory that was CMA for the lifetime of the first kernel. Now it becomes like the only usable memory for early memory allocations pretty much until a page allocator is ready. This way we can be sure that we can reserve everything that we want to persist. And once the system knows that persistent ranges are secure and safe, the scratch areas again became CMA, and they can be again reused by the allocations of movable data. And it may continue for years, right? Hopefully. There is a bunch of CCFS controls we suggest. It's not set in stone yet, but we think these are important. So first of all, there are scratch fees and scratch LAN that define the physical addresses and LANs of the scratch areas. They can be used by KEXEC user space tooling to understand where the kernel image and the other parts of the KEXEC data should be stored. It's still not implemented, right? Then there is an active control that tells the user if KHO is active or not and lets the user to enable or disable KHO. And there are controls for device tree configuration, which is DTmax says how much memory can the device tree use. Like you cannot grow FDT infinitely. You have to specify its maximal size when you create it first. And then the syskernel KHODT is a representation of the device tree. It's in its binary form. It appears after KHO is activated, and it contains the device tree created up till this point. So what we've seen here, if you use DTC minus I whatever and look at syskhodt, you will see something like this. And there is a sys firmware khodt. This is the device tree that was passed from the first kernel to the next kernel. And from here we can see what was persisted, at least what we tried to persist, and how we tried to persist it. So how KHO works, more or less, I think I'm repeating myself in a way, but still. During very early boot time, KHO reserves scratch areas. Then at some point later in time, it declares these areas as CMA, because you have to reserve contiguous large chunk of contiguous memory before you have the free list and page allocator, and you can't say what page block types are at that point. It have to be separated in different stages. And then the system leaves, and at some point user decide that they want to do kernel live updates, so they enable KHO by doing H1 into syskernel KHO active. KHO calls to its users callbacks to perform their serialization of data they want to persist. And this the keychain data structures appended to KExec image along with the kernel image in iterd and whatever else KExec stores. So this pretty much happens at KExec load time. There are two additions to KExec image KHO creates. One is the physical addresses of scratch areas, and another one is the FDT blob, the physical address of FDT blob, so that when KExec moves pages around, it will know where to place FDT, and how to pass the scratch area addresses to the next kernel. When a KExec reboot happens, there is some logic in KExec that knows how to move pages from place to place. It involves a lot of copying, unfortunately, but it's something we're going to improve, I hope. And when the second kernel starts, a setup arch either on x86 or on ARM64 parses the KHO data that was there for in their setup data structures. It creates very early in boot, recreates the scratch areas and makes sure that early memory allocations work only with that scratch areas. Then KHO parses the device tree, and from that point, it's possible for KHO user to deserialize their state. Depending when this driver initialize, it might be init call time, it might be module init time, but the state is there. We make sure it's preserved and it stays in memory and nobody will touch it. Now, there was a recent discussion about this on the LinuxMM mailing list. How do we want all this thing to happen? There are a lot of opinions, obviously. And we still have a lot of open questions we need to address. Some of them related to how we manage scratch areas. For instance, it is possible to predict in some way how much scratch memory the next kernel will need. We know how much memory the first kernel used for its boot time allocation, so we can kind of do some math and hope that the next kernel is not too different from the first kernel and calculate some scratch size based on the current kernel use and I don't know, give it 150% or maybe a bit more. And there is opinion that it should be set in the kernel command line and that the administrator knows better. Yet to be seen if administrator really knows better. Another interesting thing is what happens if administrator thinks they know better and wants to resize KHO after boot of one of the next kernel and say, okay, the fourth kernel will boot with different scratch sizes. We still don't know how to address this, to be honest, because if it's done late in the system lifetime, there is no guarantee we'll be able to allocate contiguous, physically contiguous memory chunks. It will be easy if the administrator would want to reduce, but increase will be difficult. And another open question is, what do we do if there is no enough memory in scratch area when boot time allocations happen? Do we panic, or do we just disable KHO and continue with the normal reboot? Another thing that was discussed on the mailing lists is, what exact data format do we want? Some people say that FDT is too strict and rigid and doesn't allow for parallelization of drivers serializing their data. From the other hand, it gives some standardization. So there was a vague proposal about having some intermediate data structure for persisting device properties and driver properties and the memory ranges, and then at some point converting it to FDT. Somebody suggested that we just reinvent some another format and we'll use that format. So we'll continue to talk about this, I presume, until KHO is merged upstream. And another interesting point is what states do we want to have. Right now what we have is activate, KExec load, and KExec reboot essentially. So there is a desire to make it possible to activate KHO after KExec load. It's a bit complicated because of how KExec works. It's not impossible, but still it would be quite intrusive. Another thing that was raised, that the complex device drivers, like for example modern NIC cards, will require much more states in the middle, like prepare again, and then save state, restore state, and the basic model of activate load doesn't work for them. And it's also something we are going to look into in the near future. So that's all I had. I think I made it in time. Hard.
Well,
hi. So you're using CMA because it's contiguous, right? You need the scratch space to be bunch of contiguous.
Essentially,
memory.
I reserve mem block because it's continuous, and then I tell page allocator, okay, it's CMA, you can use it for movable.
Yes. But is CMA guaranteed to be available for this?
What do you mean?
If there's some driver that needs to persist state, or it's in your set of
so for now we can't persist on movable. We can't persist movable ranges. So if it's CMA, it's guaranteed to be movable, and if some driver did the page alloc of something, it would be unmovable. So we can persist the unmovable, but we can't guarantee persistence of movable.
And another quick question, what's your, I mean, this is all needed to do KExec very fast, right? To keep the VMs and driver devices alive. So what's your, roughly your time budget for doing the KExec?
Time budget is always as low as you can, right? The few interesting tricks we've done here is the two-phased approach, where you activate and then only KExec, which allows you to move a lot of the complexity, like the serialization, which can be expensive, into a part where you can still continue running your system, so it doesn't actually buy you into the KExec downtime. The only part that really inflicts pain and downtimes is the deserialization, which is reasonably fast, at least since you have a well-structured data format.
I guess there's
there.
Back there, yeah, and in the middle. We're having hard time, so both with the bubble.
Who was it? Yeah. Hi. One of the slides mentioned that the data are immutable after serialization. So this immutability, it's ensured generally, or by each user of that API must ensure that the data are immutable after it's serialized?
The users must know that they serialized and the data they serialized cannot change. KHO doesn't provide any guarantees about that. It's up to the drivers.
All right. We're out of time. Thanks.
Okay.
Just the mic.
Yeah, sure.